141 HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're sitting down with Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick. He is in studio with me. If you have a question or a comment for Dr. Frederick, give us a call as we talk about Howard University at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You were in New York this morning.
That's right.
You rang the bell for the opening of the stock market, specifically for the NASDAQ. Why?
Yeah, I should say I participated in the ringing of the bell. the principals who actually rang it were the lead director and the CEO of a company called 8x8. It's a global cloud communications company that we've been talking to about potential solutions here on campus. For our telecommunications, for communications between students and faculty and so on. And they were gracious enough as part of, our engagement and the activities with them to invite me to the opening of the bell, which I haven't been to. So it was quite a treat to be at NASDAQ in Times Square and to witness that and to participate in it, actually.
Did you walk the floor? Did you have an opportunity to tour the floor?
We didn't tour the floor, but I did have an opportunity to watch a couple of the shows, the Squawk Box, and a couple of the shows live that were being filmed and just engage in that activity. As a matter of fact, this morning they had Larry Summers on, ironically, mm-hmm. who's a former president of Harvard and Fed secretary, economic advisor for President Obama. So again, it was fascinating to just kind of be there, see the personalities, hear the discussion up close.
I'm a big fan, and this was the one day that I missed you because I watch every morning on CNBC. But with that said, history was made today. The NASDAQ reached an all-time high. Yep. With that said, and with your presence there and, connecting with yet another high-tech company and forming relationships and partnerships, one of the things that a lot of people do not seem to realize, and this goes to the heart of the change that's coming to this country, no matter what you think of the incoming president, a lot of people need to really look at their investments in their 401ks and how things have changed since November. This is particularly the case for African Americans. What are your thoughts regarding, finances and some of the changes we've seen recently?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you say that. I got an MBA here at Howard. I'm now a board of director of Mutual of America. And tomorrow, actually, I will attend my first orientation meeting for the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, Baltimore branch board of directors. I was just appointed there. And I'm interested in participating in these things to bring that perspective, to bring the perspective of what role higher ed may play in terms of the economic mobility of African Americans, et cetera. And I think it's a critical aspect of what we do. Traditionally, I'm not sure from a cultural point of view that this is something that's a dinner table discussion. And I think that that's a missed opportunity. My 12-year-old son, we have an account through an app or a company called Robinhood, where he wanted me to purchase stock for him. We looked at five companies. It started with us looking for about 4 to 8 weeks at the trends, trying to understand some things about companies. I tried to encourage him to purchase shares in companies for things that he either uses in some way or interacts with, so he has a bit of an understanding himself of whether they bring pleasure or not. If they change and he doesn't like what the product anymore, does that impact whether or not he wants to buy more shares? And we track it and we have that conversation. Now my 10-year-old daughter wants, for her 11th birthday, she wants us to buy stock. I think it's important to have those conversations. We went on an extended vacation over the winter break, and one of the conversations I enjoyed having with the both of them was talking about our family finances in a fairly rudimentary mm-hmm. way, but explaining to them us planning for retirement, and I think we have to do that more. with younger people, but we have to do that more in our homes. Now, to do that, it also means that as a community, we have to lift our financial literacy. And so that's the other thing that I would like to see us do more of. And again, I think Howard University can play a role here. You know, our finance students, I think being able to give, you know, free advice to help during tax season in the neighborhood, et cetera. I think all of those are initiatives that we can really push to try to get the financial literacy raised in our community. But I think it's a very critical thing that we must all do, especially now when you look at the fact that most pensions, the traditional defined pension benefit has more or less gone away. I read an article the other day in the Wall Street Journal, the gentleman who first proposed the 401k, his regret about it, because they admitted that some of the calculations they had initially in terms of what they expected on returns, average returns, they probably overshot. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you know, did they oversell the prospect? And looking back now, they think they did oversell the prospect. So even understanding the history of these instruments, you know, how best to use them, I think all of that is extremely critical. I know in my household, it is. We're constantly talking and planning about that. I have two chronic illnesses, and so I'm realistic about, you know, my own longevity and mortality. Not to be macabre, but part of my responsibility is to take care of my family, mm-hmm. and to make sure that I leave them in the right place.
And obviously a great place to start here, especially when you're talking about financial education and the like. So I think this is definitely the time for people to watch what's happening, not only with their piggy banks, but their 401ks and everything in between. I want to go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Westbrooks calling from New Orleans. Thanks for calling, Doc. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
First, I'd like to say, Dr. Frederick, I appreciate all the wonderful things that you do taking care of our Howard University students and our alumni. I'm a 1990 graduate of the university. I'm a very proud graduate. I am the president of the alumni chapter in Louisiana, and we've been successful with placing a few students on the BAC championship volleyball team. But I wanted to ask you specifically about how can we do better in reference to our other athletics, especially football. I have personally had a difficult time getting in touch with coaches and getting responses from sending them huddle videos about particular prospects. And I've also heard similar horror stories about recruitment with our athletic department, specifically football. What can we do better in those areas? Because as we watched the championship game last night, there were majority folks that look like us on that field on both sides of the football.
Well, let's see. Well, Dr. Westbrooks, let me see what Dr. Frederick has to say about many of your questions. Go ahead.
So Dr. Westbrooks, first, let me thank you for your support and your stewardship of the alumni chapter there. You know, a couple of things to react to. The first is what was probably most important looking at last night for me was that you had a quarterback at Clemson who won the game, who graduated in 3 years. And I think of all the stats, the touchdown with 1 second left, I wish that was just played up a little bit more. And the reason for that is that the graduation rate of black athletes in the major conferences such as the SEC and the ACC, as were on display last night, is unfortunately very poor. So the first thing I have to underscore with Howard Athletics is that our graduation rate of our athletes is very high. It's higher than our student body, and those students do very, very well. So that's the first thing I want to emphasize. The second thing is, you may have heard yesterday, and I think Mr. Fisher was going to ask me a bit about this. We hired a new coach for the football team, and I think a lot of what you're talking about starts with leadership. Mike London has won a FCS national title at the University of Richmond. In his past, he has been the ACC Coach of the Year. As a matter of fact, I think he was Coach of the Year while Dabo Sweeney was in the league at Clemson, and he was the coach at University of Virginia. So we feel that we have hired a very high-quality coach who can take us to the next level. He is a star recruiter. He was the assistant coach at Maryland and responsible, apparently, for recruiting in the DMV area, and really has secured some great athletes for them, and we think we'll do the same for us. So in terms of, you know, what I think you can expect out of him and his professionalism, what he would bring to the table, I think is great. Now, one coach is not going to turn our fortunes around. I also want to be clear about that. The other thing that we must do is to invest over time in our facilities, et cetera. And that's a commitment that I've made as well. He is also a leader of men. He talks about students attending class, and he talks about them conducting themselves in a classy fashion. And those are the types of things that I want in a head football coach here at Howard University, and I think that's what we have in our new head football coach. And by the way, on the volleyball team, I actually attended an admissions event in New Orleans, and two of the young ladies who had just recently been admitted to Howard, this was several years ago when I was still the provost, were actually heading to the team at that time. They're now graduating seniors, so it's great to see them make the NCAA tournament these past 2 years and to win the MEAC back-to-back. So I'm very proud. And you, Dr. Westbrook, and the folks in New Orleans should be very proud of them. They've conducted themselves in an excellent fashion.
Well, Dr. Westbrook, thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate your phone call. Let me go to LaJuan. LaJuan calling from D.C. LaJuan, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm listening to this conversation, and I think it's so important to remember. I think you started your conversation out, sir, about the irony of this time where the outgoing president is, you know, making his farewell speech on the same day as the confirmation hearings of Senator Sessions. And I tried to put this all in perspective for myself just to be able to get through this really tumultuous political season. And I think that the irony extends also to the fact that President Obama and other progressive politicians have really, you know, sort of encouraged and instructed us and have been there to guide people to be able to change their communities on the ground, you know, on the ground, in your family first, in your direct community, and then, you know, to a broader base. And I think it's really important, all the issues that you touch. I mean, just being able to understand how your finances affect your family so that your children can then go out and, you know, make better decisions, be in a better position. I'm really encouraged that in 2 years when we have to vote again for our Congress, our representatives and our Congress people, that we will come out and hopefully, you know, a strong number so that we can make a change, because these things directly affect our life. And I think we haven't really seen in recent history anyway that our lives have been affected by political, people have been in these positions for years and years, and mm-hmm. that they're, the times have changed, but maybe not their mindsets, and they don't understand how in our community, you know, we need their support. And
well, LaJuan, I've got to stop you there, and I appreciate your passion. I'll let Dr. Frederick respond right before we go to our break. Dr. Frederick?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think it's important, and I absolutely hear you on your focus in 2 years voting. I actually I'm going to bring that back to this weekend. We'll celebrate Martin Luther King holiday on Monday. A day of service is what has become the tradition. And I actually think we have a great opportunity as a community to start right there. Yes, we have to go to the polls. I'm not denying that. But I think even before we get there, we have to really help and empower one another. What I'm most dismayed about is I think, as a community, don't exercise enough self-love. I say that a lot about Howard University, its alums, students, faculty. We attack each other with the venom of the enemy like I've never seen before. And I just don't think we spend enough time working at that, you know. So my goal this weekend is to be out and about volunteering and providing service. And that's going to be my call to the Howard community beginning this weekend. If we band together and do what's right for each other, getting to the polls in 2 years would almost become a natural next step. And I think that's what we have to do. We can't ramp up around elections, regardless of what your political persuasion is. I think what we have to do is really be consistent every single day about providing an opportunity for others and really supporting our community. And I think that that is a sustainable solution to some of what people are feeling in terms of being attacked right now.
Lawan, thank you so much for your input. And before we go to a break, you know who else said that today? Just what you said, Dr. Frederick. Melvin Graham, the brother of one of the victims of the Mother Emanuel AME 9. His reaction after the sentencing today of Dylan Ruth, sentenced to the death penalty, and that was one of the first things that he said, is that the community needs to work on exercising more self-love to reduce violent incidents. Interesting that you should bring that up. Uninitiated. I appreciate that. I'm going to come back. I want to talk a little bit more about football. Also, 150 years of Howard University Charter Day. And we'll be back in just a bit. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. I'm sitting with Howard University President Dr. Wayne Frederick. Dr. Frederick, I want to talk a little bit more about Mike London, the new head football coach. And not so much about him, but the choice of a high-profile football coach and what that means to the broader Howard University community, the optics, because the reality is there's a lot of money in sports when teams do well.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. First, let me start with making one point, because I think this has been reported inaccurately. Gary Harrell, the prior coach, his contract expired on November 30th, and I just elected not to renew it. I mention that because he not only was a good coach, but he is a good friend. And that was a very, very difficult decision for me to make. But I thought it was in the best interest of the university for us to go in a different direction. So I just want to underscore that I appreciate what he had done while he was here. You know, college athletics is very complicated these days, and it's a big time money sport, investment type of vehicle. You've got Nick Saban, the coach last night for University of Alabama. He makes $7.5 million a year. So you've got to put it in perspective in terms of what it is you're trying to accomplish. And what I'm trying to accomplish is to make sure that my student athletes are excellent in the classroom and on the field. I don't think college sports are a hobby, and therefore I don't want programs that are not as competitive and that we're not out there going after wins and losses, and more important, representing ourselves with great effort. And so you need coaches that are going to lead that type of pursuit. The activity of practice, the dedication that you require, all of those things make those athletes stand out on a campus. And they really should be leaders on a campus because of that type of pursuit. And so that's what I'm looking for in coaches. The overall investment does require other practical things. We have to have a better press box in our stadium. That's something that we need to look at, and I've committed to getting that done this summer. It's not just about the athletes. I'm going to double my investment in our band, for instance. We need to grow the size of the band, and we need to make sure that the band is also representative of all of what we expect in terms of Howard University Bison Athletics. So we have to make that investment as well. And I think incrementally, I hope that people will see and will continue and are seeing that I am committed to making that investment. And I'm trying to balance that against what we need to do in the classroom to make sure that we're not losing ground as well. But I think it's very important. It's a rallying point for universities when you have winning teams, and it can really bring a great atmosphere to campus to add to student life as well.
Let's switch gears a little bit. We've been talking about the 150th celebration since the 149th celebration. Talk to me about what's on your plate now since we last spoke.
So this is really going to be a spectacular opportunity for us to celebrate, come together and celebrate the university. On March 2nd, 2017, we will celebrate with opening convocation. That evening, we will have an event at the new African-American Museum for History and Culture, the Smithsonian Museum. We will have that facility from 6:30 to 10:30. And we're going to put on a series of activities, but people are also going to be able to see the entire museum. 2,400 guests, and that'll be by invitation only. Charter Day dinner will take place on the Friday, not the Saturday, but the Friday, at the Hilton that we usually have it at. And again, this is a major this is the major fundraising activity for the university. And I think to celebrate the 150th, we have to look at that very closely. So the tickets are $750 a ticket. That's a significant price. But when I look at what we need to invest in our students and what we need to invest in the physical plant of the university, we really have to be very aggressive about fundraising. Having said that, again, it's going to be a fantastic night. We're planning on celebrating the university in increments of the 50 years and putting on display what we think have been the major achievements and having some of the descendants who bore those achievements about or some of the survivors who bore those achievements to pass. And I think that that's going to be fantastic. Once you purchase a ticket for the, for Charter Day, we hope to invite all of those people as well to the museum as well. So I think it's a great value and a great opportunity.
What does 150 years of Howard University mean? I mean, symbolically for the Mecca, for the premier HBCU in America. And don't give me any phone calls, listeners, about, the Hampton or the Morehouse folks or the I said it and there it is. So even my Morgan alums, I know I'll catch it from them. But 150 years, it's a big deal.
It's again, the irony, the first African-American president gives his one of his last commencement addresses in 2016 at Howard University. He then leaves office in January of 17, and in March of 17, we celebrate our 150th. I mean, these things, you just can't plan these things. They happen for a reason. And I think the importance is we have to go back to the very beginning. Most universities in this country started as seminaries. This university started as a university from its birth. That in and of itself was an incredible achievement. And the fact that some of the first faculty members, for instance, in the College of Medicine in 1871 were two black surgeons. Before there was a law on the books in this country that integrated our educational system, Howard University was an experiment in the best of us, in the best of what we represent. Female faculty, female students. Female chairs of departments. The first practicing female lawyer, Charlotte Ray, graduated from a Howard Law School before 1900. I mean, there's so many things that we're celebrating in this 150th. What I think is the significance is that we're not going to celebrate this necessarily with our backs turned to the future looking back, but we're going to celebrate it looking forward. And we're going to celebrate it being able to celebrate the fact that in 2017, you can have students protesting the confirmation of a cabinet member for a new administration because they have an ideological difference. And that what has happened in the prior 149 years, 150 years, to pave the way for them to be able to do that, they honor it by doing it. And I think that's what we have to celebrate. And the best way for us to celebrate is to make sure that the institution is thriving so that as we continue to produce and put out more progeny from the university, that we go to another strength. And I think that's what the significance is and what we would like to bring on that night by going to the African American Museum on March 2nd. There's a lot of Howard memorabilia or Howard-related either memorabilia or personalities in there. I think to put that on display is going to be great. We're going to have several alum panels so people can see some very distinguished alum. And then we're going to come the next night and meet some of the descendants. We hope to have the descendant of the first graduate there. from the university. We hope to have family members of other voters, Howard, for whom the university is named after. I've already invited, and she's accepted, Thurgood Marshall's wife, who is an absolutely fantastic storyteller of one of the great Americans who really, you know, has propelled our justice system. So I really think, Harold, it's an opportunity, and at the same time to have some of our students speak to their current ambitions. You're often cynical about our youth, and I'm not. I think what I see in our youth today is the hope and the promise of tomorrow. So when even a President Obama speaks tonight, hopefully again about that hope and that promise, as far as I'm concerned, he's speaking about the students on this campus who are going to go there, and they're going to make sure that the next 150 is well taken care of.
Well, I got to say, you know, whether they are, you know, waiting for you, you know, as they are, you know, released after protesting today, or just, you know, walking on campus and, you know, preparing to graduate and dealing with all of that, I'm always encouraged. And I often ask myself, was I like that? I don't know. let us hope so. Dr. Frederick, it's always good to see you. And Happy New Year.
Same to you.
And Happy New Year. And looking forward to a lot of good things from the university. And we'll be talking again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for having me.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, January 10th, 2017. For I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at HFisherWHUR on Twitter or Facebook at HaroldFisherWHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night, everyone.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.